Warning, this podcast is intended for mature audiences only. The podcast will contain adult language and subject matter. It is not suitable for all listeners and ages. Your personal discretion is advised.
Feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme, get on up, because it's News Chew time. Welcome back, everybody, and a special welcome back to Baby Metal. Oh, man. Even though I missed it, I didn't know how much I missed it, Ben.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, you can't live without. It's just one of those little things.
It was the one who got away, and we're so lucky that she was willing to take us back.
And now it's really till death do us part with Baby Metal.
Yep.
So, except you're here for the long haul.
Except for random special occasions where we'll try to ruin your sanity with some of the weird music choices that we talked about last week, particularly Scottish pirate metal.
Yes.
Which, ironically, is now what I call my penis. Just so you all know.
I have no response for that.
As you shouldn't. I would have expected nothing less, Ben. So Ben, something interesting occurred in my life this week that I would like to pick your brain about.
Okay.
In one's life, there comes a moment where you have to accept certain things about who you are and how you choose to behave in public settings. I witnessed something yesterday at a ballpark that I hold near and dear to my heart, as do you, which is Miller Park. Something very, very peculiar happened. And I didn't really know how to respond to it, and I still am not sure, and I would like to get your opinion on it. So at a certain point, I haven't even told my wife yet, by the way, because I still feel weird about it. At a certain point, I went to go to the bathroom, and I got up, and I'm heading up the stairs, and there are three different people in wheelchairs, and they're blocking the exit from where we're sitting so that I can't get out to go to the bathroom. And I kind of, like, stood there for a second, and I was like, well, what do I do? And I was like, okay. So I was just like, excuse me. And I was like, do you mind if I scoot by? And he goes, what do you mean, scoot by? Is that a dig? And I was like, well, no. I was like, it's just an expression. And he wheeled away, and he was like, asshole. And I didn't say anything, and I just kind of walked away. Ben, was that those were the exact words that I used? Like, did I inadvertently make a very horrible, like, say something very terrible? Or was that an innocent just thing to say to somebody?
It's, well, I guess it depends on who you talk to. 9 out of 10 people will just say, oh yeah, man, I'll just move out of the way. That guy in particular found that very offensive for some reason, maybe because he was in the wheelchair. But clearly, you meant nothing by it other than, hey, can I get through, man? You know, can you move so I can go to the bathroom? And he apparently took that, you know, the absolute worst way, like he just insulted his mother or something.
Contrary to popular belief, mostly my actions on this podcast, in public, I'm actually a very, you know, I'm not a terrible person. I'm the opposite of how I am on this podcast. So, like, it was very innocent. I certainly wasn't trying to make fun of someone in a wheelchair. And, like, I felt really shitty about it, and I'm not sure that I should, but I do for whatever reason. Still, today, I feel pretty bad about it.
Well, I mean, it's just one of those things that happens. There's not much you can really do about it, and you're always going to, no matter what you say, it's always going to rub somebody the wrong way. I mean, you can't please everybody. Even if you mean no harm or foul by it, somebody's going to get upset by it, and not. Why, I don't know, but...
It's crazy kinda, to me, because I wasn't even trying to be offensive, you know? I wasn't like, get out of the way, honky. Or,
You weren't like, hey, we found your sea legs.
Oh, now see, Ben, now you've crossed the line, asshole. No,
can I just submit something really quick, now that I said
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
This might lose us listeners, though.
Oh, well, what are you doing, Ben?
Because I'm going to say it, I'm going to defend it, though, because I brought that up.
All right.
Forrest Gump is an okay movie. It's, to me, it's not great, it's not spectacular, it's okay. I don't know. Because I just thought of, you know, Lieutenant Dan, here you see legs. That's why I said that. But
do you feel alone right now, Ben?
A little.
That's good. Embrace that feeling. You just think that Forrest Gump is okay? You're just okay?
I mean, it's good, it's okay. I never got all the hype about it.
You never got the hype on a mildly handicapped man overcoming the odds and being the leading kick returner for Alabama, being a ping pong champion, Vietnam hero? You sick of me. A shrimpo captain, Ben! An eventual bench sitter? Unbelievable, Ben. I can't even believe you. Ah, it's fine. I've heard people... I know people who don't like Forrest Gump at all, Ben. It's not that big a deal. I just wanted to make you feel bad about it, because you seemed really upset.
At this point, I'm pretty invulnerable to stuff like that.
Yeah, this isn't a... something that... I don't think that this one is a deplorable... at least on your scale, this is pretty tame. That's okay. Forrest Gump is... I really like Forrest Gump, and I know Ashley really likes Forrest Gump. So, you know, different strokes for different folks, man.
That is true. I'll just share something that I saw this week that was kind of weird. And one day I was driving home from a college, and you know, I almost got to my exit, and I see this guy pulled over. And, you know, it's in the distance, I can't really see him all that well, and I get pulled up, and it's a cop. He's standing outside of his car with his binoculars. And to this day, I still don't know what he was looking at, or if he was trying to get somebody, how he's going to, you know, catch them, because he had to get into his car, start them up, and try to chase them. So I don't know what he was doing. I don't know if maybe he just decided to take a break and birdwatch, but that was something I've never seen before. It's just a cop sitting outside of his car on the side of the highway with a pair of binoculars.
Well, Ben, I'm in the midst of power watching Breaking Bad, so my brain automatically just assumes he's trying to get his product back from somebody.
His crystal blue.
His crystal blue. It just, that's where my brain goes automatically.
Eh, fair enough. I mean, that's clearly the next logical step in this. So
it is the next logical. I mean, people who are standing in like very public places using binoculars, there's obviously something weird going on.
Typically, yeah. So plus it was a cop, so I'm like, I don't know what he's watching.
He's watching naked ladies, Ben.
Or maybe he was watching story number one.
That was a good segue.
So, story number one. A man allegedly sells undercover cop crushed Pop-Tart, claims that it's cocaine. And the first line of this story reads, and oh god, do I get a throw out of it. Looks like the cop didn't want to sweeten the deal.
Yeah, that, boy... This author is your soulmate, Ben. It was written by a woman named Hillary Hansen. I recommend finding her on Twitter, professing your love to her.
I might have to. I very well might
she
have
obviously
to.
Obviously, shows your sensibilities.
So, Cameron Mitchell was arrested last week after allegedly selling an undercover agent in North Carolina a crushed-up Pop-Tart he claimed was cocaine. So the man was making a delivery to a convenience store when the incident occurred. The agent came into contact with Mitchell, and over the course of the conversation, he allegedly agreed to sell him some crack cocaine for $20. But when they tested the substance that the man gave him, it was a crushed Pop-Tart, and he sold it only because he needed the money. So he was later charged with selling a counterfeit controlled substance and creating a counterfeit controlled substance as well.
You know why he needed the money, Ben, right? Because he needed to go buy crack cocaine.
Or maybe he needed the s'mores Pop-Tarts.
Some more Pop-Tarts, so that he could sell fake cocaine. Part of me wants to think that he tried to sell him, like, a giant bag, and that this idiot just, like, crushed up a strawberry Pop-Tart, so there was, like, all this red gel in the crack cocaine. But he wasn't that stupid. He wasn't, like, the stupidest person we've had on this podcast. Just kind of stupid.
Well, I mean, kind of, but at the same time, he was trying to get money. So, I mean, at least he kind of had a motive behind it. Yeah, I mean, well, yeah. I mean, at least he still had a motive behind it, I guess. I'm not defending it. But it's better than just crushing up Pop-Tarts and giving it to cops and saying it's cocaine. I mean, at least he was trying to get a little money out of it.
Yeah, I mean, but if you're, you know, if you're not really a crack dealer, you probably should be more careful who you're selling fake crack to.
Yeah, that's fair. So, I guess it was really they charged him with the intent to do it and whatnot, which,
What's fascinating is that they can't get him for, like, possession or anything like that, so that's a pretty minimal... he'll probably spent the night in jail, and then he probably got out the next day.
Which, this leads me to ask, cops that do this and actually get, like, cocaine and other drugs... Mm. These undercover cops, what do they do with them once they bust the people? What do you do with all? Do you just keep it in a back room?
All the drugs?
Yeah. Yeah.
They keep it in storage. And, like, it's all inventoried so that they know if cops are stealing the drugs. I would imagine that cops who go deep undercover, like, really deep undercover, I imagine that those cops at some point have to do drugs, like, in order to earn trust or whatever. Like, I would imagine that that's something that just is part of the deal. But, you know, I guess I don't know. I don't know any super deep undercover cops that I can talk about then.
And I wonder what kind of flavor of Pop-Tart this was, too. Well, if it was like...
Since he only used the corner, it doesn't really matter, because it wouldn't have got any of the actual Pop-Tart flavoring. It would just be the weird preservative-induced pastry exterior.
That's fair. But, I mean, if he had, like, wasted, like, one of the peanut butter ones or one of the strawberry ones, oh, man...
They make peanut butter on this guy's case.
Yeah, it's like a Reese's.
Weird.
I
don't know that I care for that.
Oh, it's and I like really good, butter. Actually.
The only Pop-Tart that matters is the cinnamon, brown cinnamon and sugar Pop-Tart. All other Pop-Tarts are inferior.
S'mores?
Yes. S'mores is inferior to brown sugar and cinnamon. Inferior.
Lou, I think we're going to have to go to war over Pop-Tarts now.
That's fine. We'll put up a poll, Ben, and I guarantee you that cinnamon and brown sugar wins by a landslide.
Ooh, I doubt it.
Landslide. It'll be a landslide victory, Ben.
You're not Babe Ruth here, Lou. You're not calling your shot.
Too late. It's already been called.
Because it's not going anywhere. I guarantee you. Any other sugar, I guarantee you strawberry will beat out brown cinnamon sugar.
Ben, don't. Write checks with your mouth.
Cookie dough will beat out brown cinnamon
There's
sugar.
No such thing as cookie dough Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, there are.
Your generation doesn't know what you're talking about when it comes to Pop-Tarts. These weird amalgamations that were created for you guys so that they could warp your brain with sugar toxins is nonsense. There's a core group of Pop-Tarts that are acceptable, and peanut butter and cookie dough are not a part of this grouping.
What about ice cream sundae?
I will never accept an ice cream sundae Pop-Tart. You can't put ice cream inside of a Pop-Tart. The bread is too brittle. It needs to be a crepe. Or some side of...
Yeah, these are actually things that exist. Okay, so fine. If we're going old school, it has to be strawberry versus brown cinnamon sugar. You can't get much more old school than that.
Sure. That is... Let's do it.
And strawberry will still kick its ass.
Don't be ridiculous.
But I'd like to say we got off topic, but we kind of didn't, because the story is about Pop-Tarts.
It is about Pop-Tarts, and we've actually, that was, you know what, Ben? That may have been the first time that we've ever veered off topic, and yet we're also on topic.
High five to us.
Can we call that a hot topic?
Ha!
That was just for you, Ben.
That was pretty good.
I mean, it's not up to your standards, I'm sure, but for me, that was really difficult to say.
I mean, I've given maybe a 6 out of 10.
All right.
I mean, it was trying.
I mean, you're the master, so.
But, I mean, I guess if you gotta make money, you gotta do it somehow. Not that I agree with selling and making drugs, I think that's a bad thing, but, crushing out Pop-Tarts? Cool. Doing it to undercover cops, not so cool, because...
Well, first, hold on, let's just do this from a strictly consumer standpoint. Fuck that guy for selling somebody fake drugs in the first place. That's a dick move. He should get ticketed by society for being an asshole. Because that's some bullshit. You don't do that to people. That's not right.
You ever watch The Boondocks?
No.
Oh.
Sorry.
Because there's this episode with this guy who tries, he's like this musician or whoever who ends up going kind of like bankrupt or whatever. And so what he does is he tries to go in the streets and sell cocaine, but it's all burnt. He tries to sell crack and cocaine, and it's all burnt. It's just like... He tells these people, he sells, and all these people come back and start complaining about it. That's kind of what I imagined when I read this story. It's kind of that, like, so this is a Pop-Tart, not my cocaine.
I imagine that when they tried to smoke it and it made bread, they were like, what the fuck?
It's like, dude, I never smoked this shit before.
What is this? Is this a rye bread? What the fuck?
Did you see all the preservatives fly out of it? All the sugar just melts.
All the preservatives get you way more high than crack cocaine. You just smoke it. Probably. Yeah, you just smoke those things, and all of a sudden you're dancing with a purple stuffed Alan Alda-looking teddy bear on a cloud made of lollipops. At least that's what I've been told.
That got very specific.
Yeah, it got way too specific. It almost makes you wonder.
Does it hit too close to home?
Yeah, probably. Just like our next story. Woo! That's what we call an alley-oop. You threw it up there, I tomahawk jammed it home. Our next story hits way too close to home for me, Ben. That's because I have some experience in this subject. And then I lost the story. Ben, do you have it up?
I do have the story.
All right.
So what Lou is referring to is his dog, Dewey. And this story reads, "That's too many, colon, dog has surgery to remove the 43 and a half socks he ate." So this 3-year-old Great Dane had stomach surgery after he appeared to be sick, and the vet, you know, doing the surgery and whatnot, found out that the dog had eaten 43 and a half socks. Which, looking at it, it looks like there's some matching pairs, too.
Yeah, definitely are matching pairs.
Yeah. So... I know dogs eat things, dogs get into things, but 43 and a half socks, I don't know how the dog didn't die.
Well, I mean, if they would have waited, he would have. And the reason this hits close to home, this podcast was going when that incident happened, I think. Dewey was about 6 months old, and he ate the entire contents of a stuffed toy. The whole thing, the skin... not skin, that's not the right word, the exterior, the fabric exterior, the interior, all the stuffing, and it plugged up his intestines, and he had to have surgery to have it removed. However, if he ate 43 and a half socks, he would surely be dead.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at some of these socks, they're just not like the standard, you know, Hanes, you know, white sock with the gray sole bottom. I mean, you got like some pink socks in there and some red socks. These are like different types of socks.
The dog likes variety, you know?
Yeah, he does. I wonder if you have like business socks or something like that as well.
I think there's some business socks. I think I see a Christmas sock with like a penguin. It's light blue. Let's see. There's some red, some green. I mean, you got all kinds of different colored socks.
Got some striped ones in the back.
And I mean, Great Danes, though. Great Danes are so huge that, I mean... While he was eating them, he probably didn't think much of it.
And here's what astounds me about this story, is I don't know really how long a time period this was going on. I don't know if it was from the 3 years they had the Great Dane.
I think it was all recent, because if it had been going over a long period of time, the dog would have been sick way before that. Because once you get the foreign objects in the dog's body, I'm an expert on this now, Ben, because I've had so many incidents with Dewey eating things that he wasn't supposed to. But essentially, once the foreign body gets in there, the dog will start being lethargic or feeling sick, even if it's not plugging them up. You're not supposed to eat cotton and polyblend and wool.
And if that's the case, if it did happen within a recent span time frame, how do the owners not notice they're missing all these socks?
Obviously, they're sockophiles. Look at the variety of socks that they have. These are obviously people who take their footwear very seriously.
Which, if that's the case, then how do they not know these socks were missing?
You mean they were like, they like walked up to the drawer, he looked in there and he was like, "Honey, where are my 1987 red polo Avenger Argyle socks?"
I thought they were next to my 2002 blue striped snowman frosty edition socks.
But it turns out they're not. Have you seen them? I don't know, but Arthur looks sick. I mean, yeah, it's, I don't know how
that's exactly how that conversation went down.
I like to imagine that that's how a lot of conversations go, in the most preposterous, nonsensical way possible. I mean, I'm glad the dog's okay. I mean, the thing that I've learned is that dogs don't learn lessons, though. Like, they don't get life lessons out of shit. Like, Dewey continues to eat crap, and it hasn't gotten better. And so, you know, you just kind of roll with the punches. I feel bad. I hope that their dog doesn't do this again. But dogs are not always so bright.
No, and usually that can really self-harm them. In this case,
I wonder, you know,
43 and a half socks. So he was working on that 44th sock and just did not get finished with it.
He finally had to tap out. He was finally, after about halfway through that 44th sock, he was just like, no more sock.
So this is terrible to say.
That was my really fat guy voice. Did you like it?
I did. But if we put this Great Dane and Joey Chestnut in a sock-eating contest, who do you think would win?
Well, the dog. Joey Chestnut would throw up way before he got to 43. Because dogs have stronger stomachs than humans do. So if they can get away with it, we probably can't. My wife's grandfather's dog survived eating rat poison twice. So dogs can... they can get away with some shit that we would never get away with.
Fair enough. I just had to ask.
Yeah. So anyway, and having gone through such a surgery, I can tell you that this surgery was not cheap, and but you know, they probably had to sell some of those collector socks that they have in the glass casings in order to pay for the vet bills. But you know, I think it was worth it to keep their giant friend around for a little longer.
Yeah, I mean, he's only three, so he's got some life left in him.
Yeah. He does indeed. He does indeed.
Plus, I mean, you just never want to see an animal suffer like that either. I mean, that's just terrible.
No. But, you know, I mean, they did the right thing. They took him to the vet right away, and so they were able to determine the root of the problem.
Huh. But, yeah, I mean, it's incredible that, like, now, granted, I don't know exactly how dog stomachs work. I don't know if there's some of that of humans breaking down things. But all these socks, I mean, they're not, like, at least the majority of them, they're not all, like, tarnished and whatnot. Some of them, I mean, like the pink ones and, like, that yellow one, I think. I mean, just wash them incredible amounts, you know, bleach them maybe, I don't know.
Well, you don't want to bleach the colored one, Ben. Ben, you don't do your own laundry, do you?
No, I do.
Oh, you don't want to bleach the colors.
Yeah, that was a stupid thing to say. Sorry, I'm still waking up.
That's all right, because if you bleach the colored, you'll lose the 1988 Rogue Gallery red Argyle socks. They'll lose all their color and luster.
Okay, so if you thoroughly wash them, like 10 times over.
Sure.
They're not going to look as mangled as you'd think they'd be for being in a dog's stomach.
Yeah. Socks are delicious, is my response to that.
Do you know this on personal standards?
No. Mm-mm. But every dog I've ever had, at one time or another, has eaten a sock. I've had three dogs as an adult. All of them ate a sock at one point or another. I had two dogs growing up in my youth, and both had eaten at least a sock in their time on Earth. So socks must be irresistible to dogs.
It's like their dog nip, I guess.
Dog nip. Anything that stinks is dog nip. Dogs love stuff that smells bad.
That is a fair point. I cannot argue that.
Yeah. Yep. It's a lot of socks.
That really is.
I think only own 22 pairs of socks. Because really, that's what it is. It's 22 pairs of socks.
Which makes me wonder, is this like a family of like four, or what is this exactly?
We already discussed this. It's a couple who collects vintage socks.
Yeah, I wonder if that's actually a thing.
I mean, for whatever reason, I'm sure that it is, but, I mean, it's sad that it is, if it is. I kind of don't want it to be secretly. Uh-oh, you're looking. I can hear you clackety-clackety-clackety on the keys.
Oh, not shocks. I can't.
Vintage shocks? Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Told those you. Are a thing.
Yeah, I figured.
Though I don't think it's vintage in the way we're thinking. I think it's vintage if people still wear them. Like, yeah, they're supposed to be old-timey stuff?
No, that's what I mean. Like, they keep them preserved, or, like, they don't wear... They only wear them once in a great while.
I thought you meant, like, they were, like, special edition that they just framed and would never wear ever again.
Oh, well, some of them might be. There might be some socks that are so rare and wonderful that people do that.
There is a book. There's a link to a book that I'm looking on right now from Amazon. Knitting Vintage Socks.
Knitting Vintage Socks?
You can buy it spiral-bound, for $5.03. So, all you knitters out there that want to make vintage socks, knock yourself out.
Rock and roll.
So. Yeah, I mean, that's... That happened.
Speaking of porn...
Whoa.
No? Was that not a good segue? I think,
A terrible segue.
I think the rest of the show, I'm going to try to do the worst segues that I've ever done. So, get ready for that. I just decided right now, because that was a lot of fun for that horrible segue. Our next story, Ben. Story number two? Three? Three, because Pop-Tart's dog... Three. Student dies of heart attack while looking at erotic magazines during visit to sperm bank. A doctor trainee, Zeng Gang, he was 23 years old, was on his fourth visit to the sperm bank when tragedy struck. Sorry. I tried to say that with a really straight face, and I sort of tailed off at the end. I'll try to continue doing it as seriously as possible. He died of a heart attack while looking at erotic magazines in a private booth at the sperm bank. It was his fourth visit in a little over a week, and he seemed to be taking a long time, and that was when the nurses went in there and discovered that he had passed. Supposedly they left him in there, though, for about 2 hours. Ben, I'm going to be perfectly frank with you. A two-hour wanking session, at a certain point, I'm just going to give up. You don't have to speak to this. I'm just saying, me personally, I'm throwing in the towel after a certain period of time because I just don't care that much.
I thought maybe they thought that maybe he fell asleep. I don't know.
Which, I mean, is certainly possible. I mean, after a good release, sleeping is a natural sort of next step. But 2 hours seems 2 hours seems a bit long. Like I said, I think even at about a half hour, I'm just going to wave the white flag and be like, nope, it isn't happening today. I'll try to get him again later. So, I mean, what a terrible way to die. Like, honestly and truly, like, just holding your dick in your hand. It's a horrible way for someone to find you. Like, your last pose in life is you... holding onto your dick and pointing at somebody when they open the door. sucks.
And we don't know exactly why he had the heart attack. I mean, he was only 23, so I don't know. Maybe he had a heart condition, enlarged heart, whatnot, and an activity like that will certainly get your heart going. And
maybe he got too excited, Ben. Chinese people aren't very excitable, so maybe he got way too excited. And
maybe
his heart just exploded.
That very well could be a possibility. But to be 23 years old and have a heart attack, I mean, that's kind of scary.
Yeah,
it's possible, obviously.
Do you feel your mortality, Ben?
Oh, God.
When you stop by the sperm bank later, I'm sorry, work, quote-unquote, who knows? Anything can happen, man.
That is fair. I mean, I could walk out the door and get hit by a car.
It's true.
Of course, if a car is driving that close to, actually, the back of the house, then I'm kind of concerned.
That would be amazing if you walked out your back door into your yard and the car hit you. Then, you know what that means, Ben? It was definitely your time to go. Like, it just was. Like, there's no other rhyme or reason for it. Your clock ran out.
Well, life said, oh, fuck, we're behind. We got to kill him now.
Yeah. Oh, we got to kill this motherfucker. What do you think? Car in the backyard? Yeah, this guy's a little sleep deprived, and he probably could use some jail time. All right, let's do it. That sucked, though. You know what I want to talk about before that? Can we take, in honor of me doing terrible segues, can we take a break so I can talk to you about something, Ben?
Sure.
All right. So this week was the premiere of a new television program. And typically this time of year, you know, shows are coming back, and, you know, you get some new stuff. And so you think about checking something out. For whatever reason, I saw that Sci-Fi and the studio that brought me Sharknado and Sharknado 2 were joining forces to do a show called Z Nation, which is essentially a cheaper, it's a cheap Walking Dead knockoff, more or less. But here's the catch, Ben. It's filmed in Spokane, and when I was a professional actor, I worked in Spokane, so I have friends who are going to be on this show every so often. They weren't on the first episode. But, like, they got actual, like, actors to be on this show. Like, Harold Perrineau, who was on Oz and Lost, is in this show inexplicably. I mean, there are a bunch of people who, really should just not be on a show like this. And it definitely lives up to exactly what you think it is. It's a cheap sci-fi version of The Walking Dead. You would think that the effects would be bad, but not this bad. I don't think Z Nation has a very big budget.
And where were you? I'm sorry, where were you watching
it? This is on the Sci-Fi Network.
Interesting.
And
Sci-Fi is always kind of hit or miss with a lot of
things. Well, I think most of their stuff is miss. But somehow in, like, the most entertaining way possible. This was not entertaining. I didn't care if any of the people lived or died. And quite frankly, they could have all died in the first episode, and it could have ended, and I would have been like, meh. But anyways, don't watch Z Nation. Watch The Walking Dead, returning October 12th, which is technically 4 weeks from today, Ben, just in case you're wondering. So what?
Returning October 12th is The Chewing Dead.
The Chewing Dead, well...
No, because we can preview it.
We can preview it, but see, the episode will air that night, so we would be too late.
Fair enough.
We'd be a day behind and a buck short, because we usually record on Sunday and post on Monday.
So premiering October 20th.
There you go. Premiering October 20th, a return to The Chewing Dead. Thank God, because I am so sick of fucking waiting.
Yeah, it's been too long. I'm sorry. Having to wait from end of March until October bullshit, no.
Yeah.
Can't do it anymore.
It blows quite a bit.
Kind of like the porn that guy was watching.
There you go. Oh, there was probably some blows.
I had to make that relation.
Ben, I love laser cats too, which leads us to our next story. See?
Just chock full of them today.
I like the terrible segue game. Our next story. An upstate New York teen demands portrait with cat and lasers be his yearbook photo. Now, this photo, I could look at this photo for hours. There's so much happening. The person who took this is a genius, first of all. But basically, this 16-year-old kid took this great picture. He's in a suit, and he's holding his big, fat cat. And there's a sweet, old-school retro laser background. And then up above him is the cat, looks like Mufasa in the distance. I love the picture, Ben. It's one of my favorite pictures just that exists in Earth.
Yeah, the cat, Mr. Bigglesworth. as is his name, but just looks so majestic in that upper shot of him,
yeah,
with just his head.
Like the cat is besmirching wisdom. Besmirching? Beseeching. Is beseeching wisdom, not besmirching.
But here's what irritates me about this story, is that his high school won't let him do this in his actual, like, yearbook spot, but they'll let him do it, like, later in the yearbook. But isn't the yearbook a student thing anyway? I mean, why would it matter at that point?
I don't know. I don't know. I think that you should just let him do what he wants. Who gives a shit? Like,
exactly.
Do teachers and principals, like, do you really give a fuck what your yearbook looks like? You know what, Ben? I went to high school. I have yearbooks. I don't know where they are. I haven't looked at them again. Like, they were important for one day when you got them and had your friends sign stupid things in them, and then that was the end. And I don't even know where mine are. And I also don't give a shit.
And people are like, oh, well, he's going to regret it later in life. No, he's not. In 20 years, nobody's going to remember this except for
exactly.
him.
Exactly. No one is going to see this. If anything, they made it a bigger deal because now everyone is going to know about it.
And if anything, he's going to thrive off of that. He's not going to be embarrassed by it.
No.
He was in high school. What's he going to care?
I mean, and why does the school care? What difference does it make to them? Who gives a shit? If a kid wants to pose with a fucking cat, let him. It doesn't matter.
It's not like he was going around murdering people or committing crimes. He just took a picture with his cat.
He didn't.
And went to submit for the yearbook.
He didn't show up in blackface and a hood on, you know? Like, he didn't Trayvon Martin it or anything. He just wants to take a picture with his cat in the yearbook. Calm down.
I should not have laughed at that.
Because you know that I'm just saying it for a laugh, not because I genuinely think it's something.
No, I
know.
That's exactly why I'm laughing at it.
I mean, what? Fuck off. Like, stop taking yourself and your yearbook so seriously. Realize that it is what it is, and by next year you'll have already forgotten about the kid who you let have a cat with lasers as his yearbook photo. You'll forget. You won't remember. Nobody gives a flying fuck about what person did what in their yearbook photo the year before. Because in high school, like in a lot of other things, once you graduate, nobody fucking cares or remembers anymore. It's irrelevant at that point. So why would you make such a big stink about a weird little kid wanting to take a picture with what I assume is his best friend in the whole wide world?
His cat's his best friend, all I mean?
I would imagine. I mean, he really seems to enjoy the cat.
The cat doesn't look like he's having too good of a time.
No, I think the cat, like most cats, hates all of us.
But, I mean, it's a cool photo, it really is.
I mean, it's a professional photo, which is what they're supposed to be. It looks great.
Very 1980s-ish.
I love it, yeah.
Which makes it even better with all the blazers. I just expected to see the Terminator in the background or something with it.
That'd be awesome if the Terminator was back there too. Or it would be awesome if, like, he was doing, so like, you see how the cat has the Mufasa face up in the top corner from The Lion King? If he actually held the cat out with his arm stretched, like the baby
at
the beginning, that would be better. What were the lyrics to that again?
I don't remember. It's been like... I was like 4 when I watched The Lion King, so it's been a very long time.
I think a fun game, Ben, would be on this podcast the next time we have a guest on would be to do Ben Sings the Hits, and you just sort of you just know the tune, so we find songs that you don't really know the words, so you just know the tunes and you just kind of mutter them like that, and then people have to try to guess what song it is. I think that'd be a fun game. Because if I didn't know what song that was just then, I don't know that I would have known what you were doing.
Like, I can hear it in my head, but when it comes out and I'm trying to, like, sing it, it's a train wreck. It was awful. A lot worse than I thought it was going to be. But
speaking of terrible bananas...
Ho!
Let's get to story number 5, Ben. A woman in England... this week found eggs of the world's most venomous spider attached to her bananas. A woman purchased bananas that had the Brazilian wandering spider eggs attached to them. Apparently, she was told by pest control experts that she would need to burn anything that had come into contact with the spider eggs. That's how venomous these things are, Ben. You have to burn anything that has touched the eggs.
So if it touches your hand, you have to burn your hand off?
I would imagine. Supposedly, at deadly concentrations, the venom can cause loss of muscle control, breathing problems, resulting in paralysis and eventual asphyxiation. Whew. But apparently, it has a tendency to hide in banana bunches and can be found as stowaways on shipments of bananas. Ben, I typically like to think of my stowaways as pirate scamps, like playful pirates who don't want to hurt anybody. They just want to sail the seas. Unfortunately, this is a death monster that's crawling into bananas. Another reason why kids should never be eating bananas.
Yeah, so they told her to burn everything that Lou was saying, like the vacuum, the everything. I mean, I'm surprised she didn't have to burn her house. But looking at the picture of the spider, it's very creepy looking.
Yeah.
I would not want to find one of those. And here's the funny part about the story.
Mm-hmm.
It's an alternative to Viagra.
Yeah, that was the part I wanted to really talk about. I was kind of saving that, but yeah, apparently the venom from this spider is used to treat erectile dysfunction, which leads me to a new segment I call No Fucking Way, America! That's the end of the segment. You've got to be fucking kidding me with that. We take the venom from the most venomous creature on Earth, and that's how we get our boners? Jesus Christ.
Well, it does say the spider's bite can cause an erection that lasts sometimes up to 4 hours.
Yeah, but you're dead for the last 2.5.
Well, that's true.
Good Lord. They did have to have the house fumigated, though. So like you said, like, it's surprising they didn't have to have it burned down. They did have to have the fucking thing fumigated, though.
I'm glad this happened over in England rather than here. Because that would have been bad. There have been cases, though, of British supermarkets like this one that this lady bought these bananas in, from Brazil, Costa Rica, and Ecuador and Colombia. All these places have these spiders that can bunch onto these bananas. And apparently England has had the worst luck with it.
I mean, the good news is that the last few cases of the bites, people have survived, so that's good at least. But, man, fuck that spider. Fuck that spider trying to creep in on Chiquita's territory. Fuck you, spider.
I mean, all they wanted to do was cup some bananas for their frosted flakes in the morning, and they couldn't even do that. And they had to burn their frosted flakes as well.
The house is being fumigated, you son of a bitch. The only part of this article that I don't approve of is the part where they talk about her poking the cocoon and then the little eggs falling out. I was like, yuck.
Yeah, now you're just asking for bad things to happen.
Yeah, haven't you seen any sci-fi movie ever? If there's a mysterious cocoon, don't poke it. The fuck is wrong with you? We're just lucky that they weren't like some weird French people who were like, oh, caviar. And
then
I ate the spider eggs as caviar.
Like, this makes me never want to eat a banana again in my life.
I already don't really eat bananas to begin with. The only time I can eat them is if they're green, and it's really hard to find them, like, green. So, I typically don't eat bananas. So, that's good. That's one less thing that I can die from, is a fucking Brazilian cock crusher spider.
That just amuses me, though, that they use that to treat erectile dysfunction.
It's funny, but it's also infuriating. It's like, you're injecting spider venom into me so that I can bang this Saigon hooker for 2 hours. and some change. Is it worth it? I feel like now, even if I do ever have an issue with that, that I'm pretty sure I'm just going to be like, I'll just not. Thank you.
Yeah.
Or I'll go the other extreme and I'll just be like, just inject the spider right into my wiener.
You know, Spider-Man, but in a completely different way.
Oh, be launching out toxins from my wiener. Gross. That was weird. That was weird. I'm sorry.
That and everybody else would be dead.
That's true.
On the receiving end, they'd all be dead.
Yeah, they would. Because I'm spider dick. See, that's a double play on words. Because I have a spider, I would have a spider dick, and then also because I'm like Spider-Man, but I'm just a dick. Because I kill people from my spider dick. See, it's a double... Shut up, Ben. I don't have to explain my jokes to you.
I mean, I got it, so you didn't have to.
Oh, no, I think I had to. No, I'm just kidding. I really didn't. I don't know what happened there.
So, moral of that story is don't go to England.
No, that's not true. The English people are kind, caring, and wonderful people with plenty of culture and art to fill anyone's family vacation needs. No, the moral of this story is don't go to South America, where all of their insects and reptiles are literally trying to kill you. Their sole purpose is to take back what is rightfully theirs, which means your death. So just, I mean, I know that they're beautiful countries and it's fun to go there, but maybe just don't.
Yeah, the farthest south I've ever been is Texas, and that's as far south as I'll ever go.
I've been to Mexico.
And yeah, I don't even want to go there.
Nah, Mexico's cool. I mean, but they also... There's a lot of things that want you dead in Mexico. Spiders, no. Lizards, snakes, cartels.
Drug cartels.
Yeah, cartels.
So, yeah.
Hurricanes.
We get those here.
Yeah, that's true enough.
You don't get them up where we live, but...
No, but I mean...
Could you imagine if a hurricane could form in the Great Lakes?
No.
Nobody, that'd be terrifying.
Nobody would live here, because they'd happen, I feel like, all the time, with all the water.
No, that's fair enough to say. I mean, it'd just be... I mean, I would feel bad for Jim Cantore. He'd have to go between every location on Earth. I say Earth, I just mean, you know, the eastern part of the United States.
Right. It'd be that poor bastard.
Which, speaking of Jim Cantore, a few weeks ago, we got this thing in the mail from the Weather Channel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. And it was a signed photograph of Jim Cantore, and...
What?
I'm just like, yeah! I'm like,
now wait, is
what?
It really signed, or is it one of those ones with, like, stamps?
No, it's signed by him.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know why
is he...
Weather Channel would send out signed pictures of Jim Cantore to people. I don't know.
Was this at your mom's place?
Yeah.
Are he and your mom having an illicit love affair?
I highly doubt that. I somehow highly doubt
okay.
that.
Okay, well, I mean, well, then I'm out of ideas as to why this would happen.
But yeah, I didn't know if you had heard anybody...
Are you the president of his fan club?
No.
Is...
So I didn't know if, like, this had happened to anybody you knew.
No, but I want my autograph picture.
Well, go around and ask people. See if it's happened to them.
Okay. I'll just... you know what? I'll spend the rest of the day just walking up and down the streets of my neighborhood. Yes, have you received your autographed Jim Cantore pizza, man? Shammy, shammy, man. And then I'll just start making nonsense sounds.
Like, we got it. And my mom and I just gave ourselves, like, the most what-in-the-hell look. Like, why? What's the purpose of this? I was quite baffled by that.
Maybe he's trying to... garner your vote?
Maybe? Question mark?
He's running for weatherman office?
I don't know. Which leads us to bicycling in Japan.
Hey, that was pretty bad. I mean, you could have...
It was terrible.
It could have been a lot worse. You could have really tanked it like I was, but it was... No, that was pretty bad. Good job, man.
Okay, so our final story of the day comes from Japan. Title reads... When cycling and cosplay collide, introducing the Good Smile Racing Cup. So, I don't know that it's similar to the Tour de France. I don't know how long this race is. But it says from the get-go, you know that... Oh, it doesn't look like that long at all, looking at the racetrack. That you could tell that it wasn't your normal type of bike race, because you had people who were dressing up as cosplay as different anime characters and things like that. In the first picture, actually, I can... I will now demonstrate my nerdiness.
Ben, please share with us your nerddom.
Okay, so in the first picture, you have a dude who's riding, and behind him is somebody who's cosplaying as Hatsune Miku. Hatsune Miku is a Vocaloid. It's like a computer-generated program that sings songs. So she's not an actual, like, anime character, but she's kind of like a mascot for Vocaloids. They're just kind of like music programs that people go in and whatnot. I'm sure if anybody out there is familiar with, what's it called? It's something, it's like an extension for Winamp, which is a music listener. I cannot remember what it's called, but you can, like, create your own music in it. It's sort of like that. And going down it, I know Hatsune Miku is really popular. I think that's something from Persona. There's some more. I think that's a creeper from Minecraft, so that's interesting, because it's not even an anime character at all, it's just a game character. And then in one, you have characters from Ika Musume, I think Lucky Star, Mahou Shoujo Madoka, I want to say, and then more Hatsune Miku, because she seems the most popular one. And then some dude just dressed up as like a samurai, which is fairly entertaining to me.
Yeah, there's a lot of pictures.
Oh, no, he's a ninja. He's a ninja. That's what it is.
Or he's Shredder.
Yeah, either way. Shredding at the speed of sound.
Yeah.
So basically, these people just go around. And, oh, the one picture, you scroll up, it has, like, three people cosplayed, and they're, like, beating each other like giant corn dogs?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I didn't know if that was, a specific weapon that those characters used, but it's just a hot dog on a stick. Because the one has very clearly has ketchup and mustard on it. So I guess they just beat the shit out of each other with inflatable hot dogs?
I'd pay to watch that. I think that'd be entertaining.
Shit, that'd be fun as shit.
So yeah, it's a bike race, but people dress up as characters, whether it's from anime, games, or Minecraft, apparently. Now, are you familiar with Minecraft, Lou?
I mean, I do know what it is. I've never played it, though, and I don't know the particular inner workings of it, no.
Minecraft is like virtual Legos, essentially.
Sure.
And the one guy who cosplayed as the Creeper, a Creeper can blow anything up in the game, so you can build a giant tower. Boom. So it's kind of like in real life. Like, you build a giant tower of Legos, and the dog comes over and you know, knocks it over. That's how deflating that
you
feels.
No, I never had that problem with Legos, but I did always have that problem with blocks as a very small child. The dog would come up and destroy my masterpiece.
Yeah. That's always kind of... It kind of kills your spirits.
Sure.
But I think this is fairly entertaining and funny. Alu, what's your take on this, since you're not really familiar with the anime culture?
Well,
Japan?
I mean, I certainly do find the humor in it, and I enjoy the probably fun and camaraderie that the event creates. I guess what is fascinating to me is that, like, it's almost like a circuit. Like, they tour around and have different races. And so to me, that's the interesting part. So, like, cosplay and bicycling are such a big thing there that, like, they can literally do a tour where people come out and watch. And it's kind of amazing, actually. That's like the beginning of an actual sport.
Yeah,
cosplay bicycle racing could be an actual... It could be an Olympic sport in 25 years.
I'd be down for that. I think that'd be very entertaining to watch.
Of course you would, Ben.
I know. But they also had a bunch of merchandise you could buy from what I've seen in some of these tweets. And then the hot dog one just amuses me to no end.
Yeah, them fighting with hot dogs is pretty funny. Also, there's a picture of three girls all sitting around. For a second, I thought they were Baby Metal. But then I realized I'm just racist.
Just a bit, because...
Just because it's three little Japanese girls sitting together. I was like, oh, is that Baby Metal? And I was like, Lou, you bastard.
This reminds me of the one Family episode. Oh my god, it's Jackie Chan.
Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much what I did, man. I went all Peter Griffin.
God. So bad.
So bad. Ben, if you could be in a cosplay, you could be anybody you wanted, but knowing that you had to ride a bicycle, who... Because this is... And here's why this is a good question, Ben, is because it's not just who you would like to wear, but the costume also has to be conducive to riding a bicycle.
That is a good question. Probably this character from this series, he's called Accelerator.
Mm-hmm.
He can throw buildings.
Oh, from which... what game is this?
Oh, God. It's called... I'm not going to do its Japanese name, so let me find the English name of it really quick, because I cannot speak Japanese. It's called A Certain Scientific Railgun.
Oh, okay.
He's one of the antagonists in the series. And he can throw buildings and stuff, and it's kind of cool. I'm sorry, not Railgun. It's A Certain Magical Index. Railgun is a spinoff series to it.
Mm.
So A Certain Magical Index is where you'll find Accelerator. He's an interesting character.
Okay. Well, so that was certainly an answer. I would go as Deadpool.
Oh, dude, who wouldn't go as Deadpool?
Yeah, because I'm just going to wear a onesie, and I'm going to have built-in eye protection from the wind. I'm going as Deadpool.
You know, I was the only thing about doing one day.
What's that?
Before I graduate, I want to go on campus one day just dressed up as Deadpool.
Be kind of fun, although I don't know what you do with your swords. Couldn't have a real sword.
That's true.
But I mean, it'd be fun. You got to work on your sarcastic comebacks, though. I don't think puns really work into the Deadpool character.
That's true.
You got to get a little more. You got to just say stuff that I would say.
Yeah, that's basically Deadpool.
Yeah, just say shit that I would say to people, and it'd be fun. No puns.
Did I ever tell you that there was a Deadpool panel that
you did.
Con I went to?
Yeah, you did, yeah. And I got a little nerd boner about it. We did address it. I recall coining the phrase nerd boner.
I couldn't remember if I had told you about that or not, but yeah, Japan cosplaying and bicycling. What could go wrong?
I mean, I don't know, but I would really like it if they added in some obstacles so we could get a little MXC action out of this cosplay. You know, when I think about it, the television show, you know what MXC is, right? I think we've talked about it before.
Yeah.
What was great about that was that they did cosplay for that show. People always dressed up as random shit on that show. Happened all the time.
Yeah, you wonder if maybe they'll do the same thing in Japan with that. I don't know.
Who knows?
I do not know. But, so this week we didn't have any new countries, but we did see returns from Spain, France, and Brazil.
Very nice.
So,
thank you.
And the U.S. as always.
Thank you, fellas.
So, looking at the map overall, though, I mean, we're still missing some countries. Greenland, what are you doing?
Yeah, Greenland. Get with your shit.
Yeah. Norway, same with you. So, I mean, we're pretty popular in Russia, though.
I'm not surprised. If anything, we're probably wanted in Russia, Ben.
That too.
For crimes against Putin.
Though, Lou, would you want to take a guess at what our top five countries are?
Well, I mean, U.S. is number one. Russia is number two.
Nope.
England is number two.
Yes.
Number three is... I don't know.
France.
Weird. Okay. Or maybe Spain?
Nope.
Norway?
Nope.
Ireland?
Nope. I don't think we even have any views in Ireland.
Constantinople?
No, Denmark.
Denmark. Damn it. Of course it's Denmark. No one expects the Danish.
No one expects the Danish Inquisition.
Alright, and then who's number five?
Germany. Followed by Korea, South Korea, and then Russia.
Well, I know who listens to us in South Korea. So I know where that's coming from. Interesting. Okay.
I did not realize this, but we actually have a view from Israel. I don't know when that happened.
Yes, Ben. That means we made it. We made it into the Gaza Strip, man.
We can now solve the world's problems.
Maybe they're listening to us and finding some joy, or they're like, "Listen to these bitchy first world American problems." Fuck,
more than likely.
Fuck these two Americans. They're gonna nuke choose our houses.
Oh Jesus! I hope not. That'd be terrible.
They're gonna nuke choose our houses. That's what's gonna be written on the nuclear bomb. The nuke choose.
The nuke choose.
Yeah, because I imagine they would just add an S for no reason.
That's terrible and terrifying.
Indeed. I think we're fine, Ben. I don't think... I think they have bigger fish to fry.
Like Putin. Putin's probably our biggest threat right now.
Putin is a threat to everyone and everything, except for bears. Bears can kill Putin. But Putin...
No. Putin can strangle bears with his bare hands.
I don't know. I feel like that's the only reason that he strangles them is because he's trying to kill them, but he just can't do it. They always have the upper hand.
Well, that is possible. I'm certainly not going to argue that right there. So, well, you can find us on Twitter at The News Chew. You can find us on Facebook at The News Chew with Ben and Lou. And you can email us as well, newschew with Ben and Lou at gmail.com. So, Lou, do you have any parting words for this week?
I have no wisdom to beseech this week.